Friends, we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
This is VOA Sunny Young in Washington. Welcome to the Sunny Side of Sports. It's time to climb between the ropes once again with our reigning prince of pugilistics, Nnamdi Hollywood Moeta. Good evening, Nnamdi.
And a good evening, Sonny.
Nnamdi, let's begin with Ghana's newly crowned IBF lightweight champion, Richard Comey. He has what appears to be a career-defining fight coming up in April. But first, look back, Nnamdi. How did Comey get the IBF title belt?
Sonny, this is what we call in the fight game a statement fight. Brutal stoppage. Two rounds, three knockdowns, Sonny. We saw things like uppercuts, big right hand, monster right hand, hooks. Oh, I mean, it was just like he was possessed and he did not want it to go to the judges anymore. Because if you remember, his last two losses were stolen from him. Robert Easter and Chafikov in Russia, they were all stolen. He won those fights. But he decided to just take the title, which, you know, is very rare.
This fight didn't even last two rounds, and I got to give you props, Nnamdi, because I remember you saying on air, Sonny, I guarantee Ghana is going to get another world champion.
Sonny, this world champion now, he's a puncher. Not only a puncher, he's a hungry fighter. And he stands a very good chance of making big, big money. Not only making big money, rule the division and move up in weight, because he's not just a small lightweight. He's a lanky, tall, big lightweight that could move all the way to the welterweight division where, you know, that's where the money bags are, Sonny.
Style-wise, Nnamdi, is he appealing to the fight fans in Africa and America?
Oh, Sonny, fight fans love knockouts. If you can deliver a knockout with both hands, Sonny, if you can press for the fight. I mean, Sonny, in Frisco, Texas, Saturday night, he stole the show. Don't forget there were other title fights, but the highlights were the knockdown. I mean, were brutal knockouts, Sonny. I mean, oh, man, this is what we die for when we talk about fight fans, television executive, casinos. They pay to see the knockout. They pay to see the guy on the floor trying to get up and the referee counts him out. That's what we call an African warrior on live television, Sonny.
Nnamdi, within just a few days of Comey's victory, it was announced he'll go up against the Ukrainian Lomachenko, but I understand some health concerns about Comey.
Before this fight, the deal was that the winner of this fight must fight Vasyl Lomachenko April 13th, right here in my backyard, Staples Center in Los Angeles. But for this fight, he had what we call bad hand in the first round. A puncher with a bad hand is like a Ferrari with bad tires, Sonny. And this was just not something you can just say, hey, put him back into the fight. You know, he hurt his knuckle in the right hand in the first round. Still, he was able to use it to finish the fight and then destroy the guy. But fight fans are now saying, oh, he's trying to get away from Vasyl Lomachenko, because now he's using this as an excuse to run away from Vasyl Lomachenko, because Vasyl Lomachenko is this destroyer that will destroy you because he's destroyed other guys. Sonny, I'm saying it right here on the record. Richard Comey, with hand 100%, will not only beat Lomachenko, he will knock out Lomachenko. Take it to the bank, bro.
How long does it take for this type of injury to heal?
Well, he has gone for the MRI, and we are waiting for the result of the MRI. If the result says that the injury is really bad, he will have to be out for 2 months, Sonny. That means no time to fight until maybe beginning of summer or middle of summer, because he's a puncher and the hands are very important for a puncher, Sonny.
Would Lomachenko wait for him?
Lomachenko will not wait for him. They will have to go with a mandatory contender, and then the winner of that fight will have to come back and take on Richard Comey. Because right now, in that division, the lightweight division, Richard Comey is the man to beat. Because the way he destroyed Isashaniev, you know, you cannot just ignore him. And he's not afraid to fight Lomachenko. People are talking all this nonsense about him running away. An African warrior, he will stand and fight. And I believe when the time comes and his hand is healed, he will destroy Lomachenko.
with Richard Comey winning that IBF lightweight title, is he the new face of African boxing ahead of Isaac Dogbe?
Oh, Sonny, what I like about this young man, because he's hungry, he moved his training camp from Accra, Ghana to Brooklyn, New York City. No trash talk, man. He does his talking in the ring, man. He comes to fight. And not only that, fight fans in Accra, Ghana, they love him more than any other boxer. I mean, he's very humble, he's low-key, and, you know, no trash talking. He doesn't have, like, his dad somewhere mouthing up or something like that. He comes to seek and destroy. And that's what fight fans like. And here in America, whoa, Richard Comey, because we know when he fought Robert Easter, the fight was stolen from him. Well, we saw it on TV. When he went to Russia, the fight was stolen from him. And we just all felt that he's been wronged. But for him just to come out and destroy the Russian fighter, Shaniev, yeah, we said, oh, come on now. Now we have somebody like an Azuma Nelson, son of the professor, that will come and teach you a lesson.
Well, Nnamdi, what about the Royal Storm, Isaac Dogbe? What's the latest with him?
Well, Sonny, remember our last discussion about the Royal Storm, that we said he must make changes. Well, now he's going to move his camp to California to train. And now he's talking about bringing a nutritionist, which shows you right there, he has no business being in that weight class of super bantamweight. He needs to move up to featherweight. And he did not talk about bringing a new trainer in place of his dad. We said it before, until you change your trainer, tell your pops to take a seat. Bringing a new trainer, it's just going to be the same stuff. They got your numbers. They'll beat you again. Moving to California is cool. The sunshine is good for you. Until you bring in a new trainer, move up in weights. Stop squeezing your body into the super bantam weight. You've outgrown that weight class. There's no need for a nutritionist. You need a good world-class trainer. Take that, Royal Storm. That's what you need to do. Come to California. Enjoy the sunshine and the beach. Go and fight with a new trainer in your corner.
Nnamdi, let's stick with the African prize fighters. Sharif the Lion Bogere from Uganda. What's the latest with the Lion?
Sonny, remember, we've always talked about the Lion not being active because, you know, the big man himself, Floyd Mayweather, is busy counting his own money, you know. But check this out. The Lion has got a big fight coming up Saturday night right here in Los Angeles against a former world champion, Javier Fortuna. It's a very, very dangerous fight for the Lion. But if the Lion can win this fight, then he'll find himself in a position to challenge for the world title. The money is there behind him. I mean, Floyd Mayweather can pay a third champion to fight his fighter. But Saturday night, he cannot look sloppy. He cannot be coming off the canvas. He has to go there, seek and destroy, and then win the fight. Not just win a 10-round decision. If you can push for a knockout, stop the guy. He's a former world champion. So when we talk about lightweights coming out of Africa, when we talk about Richard Comey, we talk about Sharif the Lion Bogere from Uganda.
Nnamdi, let's talk about a Nigerian heavyweight. I know you're very high about Efe Ajagba. Talk about him.
Sonny, they call him the one and only. The one and only is about to go to school, March 9. Mind you, he's 8-0, and he's been knocking out guys. And in the fight game, when you knock out all these guys, and we say, oh, have they been feeding you bombs? Check this out, March 9th, right here in my backyard, Los Angeles. Efe Ajagba will take on Amir Mansour. Amir Mansour is a crafty, lefty heavyweight that can take Efe Ajagba to school. If Efe Ajagba knocks out Amir Mansour, that means Efe Ajagba is a heavyweight that we must pay close attention to, because Amir Mansour is not just a bomb. Amir Mansour can school Efe Ajagba. So it's a very big fight for Efe Ajagba. First 8-round fight, and I hope a homeboy will deliver a knockout, and then we know that he can be a force to be reckoned with in the heavyweight division.
Thanks, Nnamdi. That's our reigning prince of pugilistics, Nnamdi Hollywood Moeta. Meanwhile, Nnamdi reports a WBO super bantamweight title rematch is likely to take place in May between Mexico's Emmanuel Navarrete and Ghana's Isaac Dogbe. Nnamdi says the two sides are close to finalizing a deal for the bout. Navarrete took Dogbe's title belt 2 months ago in New York, where he scored a unanimous decision victory. Namdi says a rematch is a bad move for Dogbe. In Namdi's words, "You've outgrown that weight class, bro. Move up to featherweight and forget Navarrete." I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. In African football news, Somalia says its under-20 team will host Eritrea in a friendly match in Mogadishu on February 16th. The match at the Benadir Stadium will be the first international football at any level in Somalia in more than 30 years. Because of security concerns, the Somalis have had to play at neutral venues or away from home. Abdikani Saeed Arab, the president of the Somali Football Federation, says in the near future, Somalia could host a CECAFA regional tournament. Somalia last hosted an international football match in Mogadishu in 1988 when they played Mauritius in an Olympic qualifier. Elsewhere in African football, Senegal is the first team through to the semifinals at the Under-20 Africa Cup of Nations tournament in Niger. The Senegalese boys booked their ticket to the Final Four with a 2-0 win Wednesday over Ghana. 18-year-old Youssef Badji scored both goals in the first half for Senegal, which also clinched a berth at the FIFA Under-20 World Cup in Poland in May. The top four African teams in Niger will go to Poland. In Wednesday's other result in Niger, Mali edged Burkina Faso 1-0 on a 52nd-minute goal from Mamadou Traoré. Mali and Ghana are currently level on points with three in Group B. But the Ghanaian boys have better goal difference. So if Ghana and Mali draw when they play each other on Saturday, Ghana will advance to the semifinals. Meanwhile, Group A action wraps up on Friday with Niger hosting Nigeria and South Africa playing Burundi. Nigeria leads this group with 4 points from two matches, followed by Niger and South Africa with 2 points each, and Burundi with 1 point. The semifinals at the Under-20 Africa Cup of Nations are scheduled for February 13th and the final on February 17th. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. Just ahead, VOA's Gwen Uten will have news about presidential elections in the governing bodies of world football and European football. But first, these Voice of America programming announcements.
Hi, this is Rick Pantaleo. Coming up on the Science Edition of Press Conference USA, a discussion on vaccines and the so-called vaccination resistance movement. Our program will feature conversations with medical doctor and vaccinologist Dr. Peter Hotez and Christina Hildebrand, founder of an organization that advocates for vaccine and pharmaceutical product choice. Listen this Saturday and Sunday for the Science Edition of Press Conference USA on The Voice of America.
It's the weekend, and whatever you're doing, you could use a little extra love. Music love, that is. Hello, this is Heather Maxwell, host of Music Time in Africa, and I've got the perfect weekend show for you.
I just called to say I love you.
First, over 30 minutes of the continent's best pan-African music, commercial-free. Second, Song of the Week, Janjo by Daju. And then two exclusive interviews with artist Soul Prayer from Harare, Zimbabwe, and Free Boy from Kano, Nigeria.
Anywhere I go, I am the number one. It's your boy, Free Boy Sunny, DJ Blando on the beat, Duma Records.
So, lots of music love coming your way. Don't miss it. Music Time in Africa, this Sunday, 5 minutes past the hours of 15 and 2000 UTC.
Thanks, Heather. That's Heather Maxwell, the host of our Music Time in Africa show. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. Gianni Infantino, the president of World Football's governing body, FIFA, will not face a challenger in June's election. My VOA colleague, Gwen Uten, has more details for us. Sporty greetings, Gwen.
Sporty greetings, Sonny. The deadline for candidates to be nominated passed at the stroke of midnight on Tuesday, and Gianni Infantino was the only candidate to have met the criteria with five nomination letters from FIFA member federations. As a result, the incumbent president is set to stand unchallenged in the upcoming presidential election. This comes despite some formidable opposition from the European Confederation UEFA for his plans to revamp the Club World Cup and Global Nations League tournament. However, he faced no presidential challenger from Europe, so he's set to serve another four-year term. Infantino was first elected as president of FIFA in 2016 while serving as general secretary of UEFA. And on Thursday, he was in Rome, where the incumbent UEFA president, Alexander Seferin, was also reelected for a second term and also unopposed. And in a further comparison, Seferin also plans to introduce changes to some UEFA competitions starting in 2024 to bring what he calls a new dimension to European football. In his acceptance speech, Seferin said any changes he makes during his second term will not compromise the integrity of European football.
What I can promise is that during this next term of office, we'll work together to ensure that European football remains united, that European football remains respectful, respectable, but also respected, and that European football continues to demonstrate solidarity, and that European football continues to bring hope.
Seferin also addressed Gianni Infantino, who was sitting in the front row, and said despite their differences, UEFA is ready to work closely with the world governing body.
With our unity restored, we will be a source of constructive ideas to FIFA rather than one of opposition. And we expect the same attitude from FIFA. We are ready to work with the world governing body to ensure that football remains the world's number one sport and that Europe continues to lead the way.
And Infantino reiterated his message of global unity through football.
And we want to continue to develop because football is global. And football deserves to be developed globally. And this can be done only if we work all together, if we exchange, if we speak, if we discuss, if we debate. This is the way I see us all together moving forward.
Infantino is scheduled to be reelected for his second term at the 69th FIFA conference on June 5th in Paris, France. And that's all from me. Sonny, back to you.
Thanks, Gwen. That's my VOA colleague, Gwen Uten. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. More football news. Newly crowned Asian champion Qatar, the host of the 2022 World Cup, has soared in FIFA's first ranking table of 2019. The Qataris were the biggest mover in February, climbing 38 places to number 55. That's Qatar's best position since 1993. Belgium remains number one overall. The Belgians hold a slim one-point margin over reigning World Cup champion France. Brazil is third, followed by Croatia and England. In Africa, the top five teams are Senegal at 24, Tunisia at 28, Morocco at 43, Nigeria at 46, and the Democratic Republic of Congo at 51. Meanwhile, the recent Super Bowl in Atlanta disappointed more than a few American-style football fans who expected a high-scoring contest between the New England Patriots and the Los Angeles Rams. Instead, they saw the lowest-scoring Super Bowl in history as the Patriots lifted their record-tying sixth trophy. My VOA colleague Jim Stevenson looks back on the 53rd Super Bowl.
Some fans weren't impressed by the New England Patriots' 13-3 Super Bowl win over the Los Angeles Rams, but for quarterback Tom Brady, it beat last year's loss to the Philadelphia Eagles.
Last year was tough on us, but to be able to win, it just is incredible.
Although it was a defensive struggle enjoyed by old-school National Football League purists, Brady says he was happy just to finish with more points.
We moved the ball decent. We just couldn't get the points on the board, and for one reason or another. But in the end, it feels a lot better than last year when we did get some points on the board, and just a great win for our team.
Tom Brady has now won six Super Bowl titles, the most for any quarterback in NFL history. Despite his numerous accolades, he credited the entire New England Patriots team.
It's a team game, man. We needed everyone out there. The defense played so well. We finally helped them out by getting a touchdown there. They stopped them, got the interception. Steph got the pick. And then we were able to run a bunch down, and then, you know, Steve drilled the field goal. So that was a great way to end it.
One of Brady's favorite passing targets was Julian Edelman, who was named the game's most valuable player. Coach Bill Belichick said focusing on tight end receivers was a tactic decided on during the game.
We went into the two tight end offense, but we spread them out, and we were able to complete some passes there to Julian, then to Rob, and then, you know, hit the goal line, run to score. So it was really well executed, not something that we had, I would say, anticipated doing a lot in this game. We did a little bit last week against Kansas City, but it was kind of the right time, the right situation, and we had good protection to be able to make those throws. Tom did a great job of getting the ball to the open guy.
Edelman says his success has come from playing on special teams.
Special teams is what allowed me to get an opportunity to play in this league. And, you know, I take that with a lot of pride, getting to play on playing that unit.
For the Los Angeles Rams, Sean McVay is the youngest head coach in the NFL. But he says he couldn't match the experience of Bill Belichick, the league's oldest coach.
They did a great job. You know, Coach Belichick did an outstanding job. You know, there's really no other way to put it. You know, I'm pretty numb right now, but, you know, definitely I got outcoached, and I didn't do nearly good enough for a football team.
McVay was a bit overwhelmed.
This is a humbling game, and when you go back and you look at every single game, you get a chance to learn from it. Certainly they did some things, you know, specific to, you know, what they had shown, where they did a great job mixing it up a little bit on defense. I thought our defense did a nice job, but then, you know, they were able to make some plays here and there, and you see why they're a great football team.
The experience of the New England Patriots has made them perennial winners, claiming a record-tying six Super Bowl wins over 18 years. Julian Edelman says it starts at the top with the work ethic of Coach Bill Belichick.
I just looked at him because I saw him on the treadmill, you know, watching film at 10 o'clock at night. I go, Coach, you know, you sure like football, huh? He goes, it beats being a plumber. See you tomorrow.
Well, being a plumber isn't so bad.
I think Julian might have misquoted me. I mean, I have a ton of respect for plumbers. I can't barely turn the water on myself. So, those people do a great job. And I think I said it beats working. But anyway.
At least for Tom Brady.
I was happy it didn't come down to the last play like it has, you know, so many other times. But it feels great to win and celebrate. We're going to have a good time tonight.
And thanks to my VOA colleague, Jim Stevenson, for that spicy Super Bowl report. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. I encourage our VOA listeners to follow the Sunny Side of Sports on Facebook and Twitter. My Facebook address is facebook.com/VOA Sunny. And my Twitter handle is @VOA Sunny Sports. And that wraps up the February 7th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Thanks to Voice of America producer Bill Werkinger. Thanks also to VOA engineer Charleston, my birthplace, Charleston, South Carolina. You heard it here first. Charleston, my birthplace. And thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington, and that's the Sunny Side of Sports.
I get it.
Hello, this is Peter Clote of VOA Africa. I am in Nigeria to cover the general election. Listen to my daily reports when you tune in to our news shows. Africa News Tonight, Daybreak Africa, Nightline Africa, and International Edition for the latest from Lagos.
Hello, I'm Douglas Impoga, host of VOA's Reporters Roundtable. Join us every Thursday as we discuss important African topics and events. I'll have a panel of African journalists and expert guests to discuss the topic at hand. We take a deeper look at important African news topics. That's Reporters Roundtable every Thursday at 17:30 UTC, right here on VOA Africa.
Afro beats, gong, Afro zouk, new traditional. This Sunday, turn it all on and enjoy the best of Africa. Hello, everyone. I'm Heather Maxwell. Music Time in Africa is the one weekend show you don't want to miss. Join me this Sunday for amazing music from 10 different African countries, plus a top 5 feature of Northern Nigeria's best songs, an interview with Ugandan singer Susan Karanen.
I'm an Alur woman, that is from the northwestern part of Uganda.
They call you the Alur Queen.
Yes.
And Song of the Week. Turn it all on this Sunday on Music Time in Africa. 15:05 and 20:05 Universal Time.
Hello, Africa. This is James Barty, host of Daybreak Africa, inviting you to join me every weekday morning at 3, 4, 5, and 6 hours UTC as we bring you the latest in African news, features, and sports. You can also be a part of Daybreak Africa through our listener mail segment by sending your comments and opinions to daybreakafrica@voanews.com. You can also call us and leave us a voicemail at 202-205-9942. That's 202-205-9942. And when you hear the Voice of America identification, press the number 25 to leave us your message. Start your day with Daybreak Africa every weekday morning at 3, 4, 5, and 6 hours UTC on The Voice of America.
This is Science in a Minute.
Medical researchers in Atlanta, Georgia, found that applying electrical stimulation to a part of the brain produced some surprise reactions in an epilepsy patient who was undergoing diagnostic testing. The doctors from Emory University School of Medicine said that they found that giving an electrical shock to the cingulum bundle area of the brain caused their patient to break into laughter, followed by what was described as a sense of calm and happiness. 2 days after the tests, the doctors decided to use their new discovery to help calm their patient during brain surgery that required her to remain awake for the duration. The doctors remarked that while the patient was initially showing signs of panic during the surgery, once the electrical stimulation was applied, she told jokes about her family and said that she felt relaxed and happy. I'm VOA's Rick Pantaleo.
Hello, this is Peter Clotty, host of Nightline Africa. Please join us every Saturday and Sunday at 16 and 18 hours UTC. Nightline Africa is VOA's Africa's weekend show that provides news, features, and entertainment news about Africa and the world. Tune in, you will be glad you did. I guarantee it. VOA.
We are always glad to have our listeners throughout Africa tuning in to our newscasts, covering African news,
Tune in on top of each hour, 24/7. VOA is your trusted source of news and information.